Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 6th, sixth day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka City Manager Dave Tyson.
Good afternoon. Happy to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy. You're just a happy guy.
2012.
Yeah, well, now that could be a happy reason.
Yeah, we get to start a new year.
Yeah. Together. Wow.
Okay, now you're going overboard.
Yeah, we're like way over. In too deep now. This afternoon, we'll get a little bit of catch-up. We've got paving. We've got funny markings on the street that I guess are now bike lanes.
Maybe. Yeah, they're...
Maybe. Either that or they're...
Share the road.
Oh, so those aren't... Well, I'll make my comments later. We've got still intersections. And is it the Full Employment Act at Harrison Harrison with the lights? We'll find out about that and a whole lot more when we come back. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Blaise Pascal.
Excuse me.
Yeah. No. If you do it on time like that, it doesn't count.
Okay.
Quote, "I have discovered that all human evil comes from this, man's being unable to sit still and quiet in a room alone." Not to be replicated this afternoon.
I was going to say, they obviously don't do radio. Then.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Or have public hearings.
Well, I'm pretty quiet during public hearings.
I know. But see, when you show up, so do the crowds. I'm talking
really?
About the typical public hearing when nobody's there.
That's that like a budget hearing or something like that where we get... three people in the room, which most of them are
paid
city
to be
staff.
There. Yeah. It's kind of like political debates. If you eliminate the handler and the spouse, you're pretty much talking to the catering staff. Oh, what's going on at the zoo?
Wow.
Well, I'm not going to show my hand on everything.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is like being on ESPN's hot seat or something.
No, they probably do some homework.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to plug that radio.
It's not even radio.
Whatever it is.
TV.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't spend a lot of time.
The zoo, we've got lots of improvements going on at the zoo. But the biggest one is we received a $2.3 million grant to do a phase of our master planning that was done several years ago. So... right now, the designers are designing the work, and then after that, we'll be going out to bid for the construction of that phase, which I wish I could tell you all the details of that phase.
Does it involve birds?
No,
monkeys?
It's going to dissolve.
Bears?
Involve, no bears.
Okay.
My understanding, it's going to involve fish and otters and the like. It's going to be more geared towards the things that we would see naturally here in Humboldt County, and I think it's going to be an exciting addition to the zoo, something that I think people will enjoy as it's been planned as part of the master planning of the overall zoo improvements.
When the zoo does get progress like that, do you see an increase in attendance, or is it just kind of those who are always there keep coming back for more?
No, they do see an increase. When we had the red pandas added to the zoo, there was a significant increase in those coming to the zoo and visiting the zoo. Anytime there's a change, and I'd say the foundation, the current foundation, and the staff at the zoo are doing a tremendous job of getting people into the zoo and enjoying, this asset the city's had for over 100 years now. So it's something great and wonderful.
As you look at some of the different challenges that are out there for zoo maintenance and upkeep, is insurance a tough thing to come by for a zoo?
Well, for our zoo, it's part of our overall operating costs of being a part of REMIF, our Redwood Empire Municipal Insurance Fund.
Oh, but so of course.
So we're a pooled insurance, so it really doesn't – certainly it's part of our overall risk that is assessed by the insurance pool. But it's, you know, not a, a huge cost for providing the zoo. Now, if the zoo is out on its own and trying to come up with that liability and property insurance, sure, it would be a, probably a significant premium. But overall, for the entire city, our premium is quite low in comparison to what it would be if we were out, you know, in the private market looking for insurance and doing it on our own. But the way we're set up, we're a pooled insurance pool with 14 other cities. And, you know, our insurance costs are kept pretty low because of that. And the coverage is really good. We do have a $25,000 deductible. But beyond that, you know, the city's exposure as far as liability and property is well managed by the insurance pool itself.
25 grand seems like it would.
That's per occurrence.
Well, yeah, I didn't figure it was an annual. Seems like, is that normal? I don't know.
You know, probably normal for, you know, cities. Some can choose a higher deductible. I know some of the cities in the pool have a higher deductible. Some can choose lower deductibles. And just, you know, like anything else, you're going to pay for that. So $25,000 is the recommended amount.
Oh.
In our,
recommended by?
Our pool.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're just middle of the road.
Yeah.
It's a normal figure.
We play it safe.
Sure. KINS news and information. I can't. It's too late in the week. I'm not going to pop you on that one.
Okay.
It's 421. We'll save our pops. And we'll be back with Dave Tyson.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. 425, we're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, Harris Street, is it done being paved?
Do you want it to be done?
Well,
we could keep going, I think.
Well, it kind of seems
it's like the project that never ended.
We'll get to that intersection in a moment. But you got the line striping to a certain point, and then it stops. And then you've got what looks like, well, you know, if it was a crime scene.
I was going to help you with
it
that.
It would look like a flat bicycle rider, yeah. That have, it looks like it replaces the lines on the side. Is that because the street's too narrow? On-street parking? Somebody got creative? You're saving paint? What's... why the change?
Pick one. I would say the project is now done. We had some intersections that needed to be fixed because of the asphalt unevenness of the asphalt at the intersections. Some of the asphalt didn't take well, so that had to be, you know.
How do you know taken. That?
Well, because you get a lot of the gravel in there coming loose.
It just starts really falling apart
so it,
early. Okay.
Yeah. And in some cases on the edge where we didn't pave curb to curb, we painted the driving lanes mostly. The edges were a little bit abrupt, so those were, sanded down or reduced. So, you know, all of that's been taken care of. The striping's been put down on the street and and the Cheros that you're talking about, the bikes.
The what?
They call them Cheros.
Oh, I thought that was a thing you got at the fair.
Those are Chiros.
Oh, okay.
But it's for sharing the road. It's to designate to the driver that, you know, this part of the roadway is being shared with the bicyclists. So,
so there's no bike lane
at that point. There's no bike lane per se, because again, the road is, as you said, the roads are too narrow to have a parking lane or parking spot in front of the house, then the driving bike lane, and then the driving lane. The road narrows too much. So at S Street, the bike lanes go away for a period of time when you go down through the dip, and then at Harrison, they pick up again as they go going east.
So in that kind of a situation, is that a normal street marker?
Well, those
are recognizable, I guess.
Yes, they are a recognized street marking. This is something new for me as well. As a runner, I guess we could put runners down on the street. That would look more like
many try.
Yeah, I set myself.
Yeah,
up for
well,
that.
You know, sometimes it's easier than others.
So, yeah, it designates the bike and the possibility that there might be a bike in that lane as well. So it alerts the drivers to that possibility, and it is an accepted street marking.
So in that kind of a situation, why not go with the yellow or some of that weird looking green color that a lot of the street signs now are colored with, instead of just the white?
I think the white is the accepted color for marking street markings, so that's why. And the reflective paint that comes along with that.
Okay.
I think those are just standard accepted traffic markings that have been tested and tried and true in the industry.
Now you got the one crosswalk at Harrison K.
Yeah.
Functional again.
Yeah.
I would presume that's working out well, because you put it back in again. Are there plans to have more of those along Harris?
I don't believe we have any additional plans for the pedestrian crossings. One thing that you want to guard against is putting too many of those in your communities, because people, tend to get used to them and they don't see them. Even the ones that at the zoo, I know I frequent that area, and of course I'm aware of them. But I do watch other drivers and how they either don't pay attention to it, or they, when the light's flashing, they may slow down, but, they aren't looking like they should for the little guy that might be trying to cross. They might be looking for the parent, but I think oftentimes it's the children that are using that more than the parents. So, if you do too many of those in your community, then it loses its effectiveness.
The one, but you still need to have enough so that people know what it is.
Yeah, at Harrison K, that was one that we put in because of the past council really wanted us to do something there to alert the traffic, because we had had some incidences there, a number of accidents there, and with pedestrians and bicyclists. And so we wanted to be able to do something but still keep the traffic flowing, because that's a main arterial in our community and there's a lot of traffic there, so you don't really want to stop the traffic in that area. You want to keep it moving, but you also want to provide some kind of alert.
Well, then put
50
on it.
I think they're already doing that.
Yeah, okay. KINS News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, the Harris, I suppose any paving job is more complicated than what it appears. For the regular guy or gal, I mean, we see it. You know, you run the asphalt machine, you run the steamroller over it, and maybe you remember to paint it, and okay, fine. And that's pretty much it. But it seems as if it's a little bit more complicated than that, because of the time that it takes, because of all the going back. I mean, you talked about paving on the sides and the transitions or aprons or skirts or whatever the word is for it. Do people really appreciate what it takes to pave a road?
I don't think that the public understands a lot of what we do, good and bad. And the notion that, you know, the paving is simple, I think it's not. It's a difficult process because of all that goes into it. You know, there's a lot of prep work. There's a lot of design work that goes into getting the road ready from an engineering standpoint. There's a lot of work done ahead of time for, you know, designing what we're attempting to do. There's work to identify, are we planning in the near future of doing any water or sewer improvements there? Because one of the things the public really likes to see is when we lay a brand new layer of asphalt and then 6 months later we're in cutting a hole in it because somebody wants to put a water line down the middle of it or something.
The leak.
We try
the leak of the existing one. That's even
that's,
more fun, isn't
that's
it?
That's the one we do there on H Street to irritate one of your other guests on the show.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, so that's a design. We actually designed that into the system to
irritate
Bill.
That would be a yes. Yeah. Well, that, you know, you live at the bottom of the hill like that. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, what do you expect?
But, you know, I think the public does, and I have a lot of evidence on this, because when we pave a street, the people feel good about it. It's one of those things that they actually see us doing.
Yeah, the tangibility of it.
You know, it's Broadway and 4th and 5th getting paved this year was, I mean, I drive down it and go, wow, our community looks better. Yeah, because the street's clean, it's new pavement, it's, you know, we don't have, I know I'm a little bit weird.
No, I'm thinking, yeah, the streets are clean. You know, can we take care of the sidewalks so the sidewalks will stay clean and and looking good instead of what seems to be attracted there?
Sure. And so the public sees that, and it's an improvement. And so I, you know, with Harris Street, and we're talking a lot about Harris, but there's other streets that we've done here recently. It just improves the livability, the neighborhoods. And when we can modernize it with things like the crossing, the pedestrian crossings or the bike lanes, you know, I think then the, you know, more and more of the public appreciates what we're doing.
Lots of studies and preparation, though, in advance.
There is a lot of study and preparation and then accumulation of the money. You know, we have to accumulate the dollars to do these projects, because like this project we did on Harris Street, that's a number of years of accumulated dollars in order to get that much pavement down.
So what gives at Harrison Harrison then? If so much time, effort, and resources have been put into planning, it seems like either you've been getting faulty equipment, okay, I mean, you know, the vendors can screw things up, or that the plans keep changing, or trying to figure out how to run things, or. I mean, it's been, I'm sure, a frustration point for you, because I know you shoot through there too. 6-7 weeks, and they still aren't functional.
Some of that is related to the new Safeway that's gone in, and us trying to initially time those signals before the signalization project, so that you know, the traffic could be dealt with. Now, you know, that we're doing this signalization project there at Harris and Harrison, you know, getting all that time so those queuing lanes aren't you know, queuing further up the street than was originally plan. So there is a lot of the timing that's going on there that's causing some problems. And, you know, as far as the equipment, from what I've heard, I haven't heard that there's been any kind of real equipment problems. It's been mostly just, you know, getting the timing down for each of the lights and the new signals.
I know it's just slightly outside the city limits, but I also have been Well, subject to having my head beaten in about sphere of influence. This thing is about, what, 25 yards, the signal light?
It's
outside
of
the city.
It's really close, yeah.
And I don't know if you have any juice or not. I understand you might have just a couple drops left. Why isn't the signal in front of the new Safeway, which is adding a ton of more traffic on Harris than what it was, and it was a major artery before, why isn't there a turn signal that's a turn signal? Because I will drive past, and I'll see like five or six cars waiting to make a turn, and there's enough traffic that they're not able to advance through the entire cycle. And I can imagine the frustration of those folks sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and then probably yelling their favorite adult word and shooting across and maybe not being the most prudent of drivers. Is there work towards that?
Well, I've heard there's some concern there. Honestly, I have not been in the parking lot of the new Safeway yet, although...
Well, you really take this shop in the city thing seriously, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. don't catch me at Murphy's tonight. There has been a lot of talk about this. Actually, I would say weekly now for the last 3 weeks, there's been correspondence back and forth, you know, email chatter between City of Eureka engineering staff and Public Works in the county. And it's even gotten up to the elected officials who are getting complaints from, you know, people that are using that. I've heard that there's some issues with the queuing on the Safeway itself, although again I haven't been in the parking lot to actually experience it myself. So there's, you know, those internal issues to the parking lot. There's the hope is, and I think the plans are, that once the Harrison and Harris signal are, the timing there is cleaned up and the queuing areas are established and the lights are, you know, working, then a lot of that congestion that's occurring at the other signal will be alleviated and disappear. But, you know, I've not seen that happen, and it's still in the works, because it just yesterday there was, you know, some email chatter going back and forth that I happened to be in the loop on between supervisors and council members and our engineering staff. So I know they're trying to coordinate, and they're working at trying to fix the issues that are bubbling to the elected official level.
It's interesting, because you would think a signal light would be something that everybody would be behind, excited about. I know you're looking in the county out on Walnut of possibly putting in another signal light. I know that there are a number of others. It never seems like it's as smooth as what people want it to be. For whatever reason, yeah, it goes in as an all-American win, and everybody gets their feathers ruffled on it. It just is an intriguing observation, I think, that it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, and we're all creatures of habit, and we get used to, you know, our patterns, and then those patterns get changed. I think that's a lot of it.
Aren't you glad we don't remember 6th and 7th being two-way?
I don't remember that.
I know. It was just a little before us. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:44. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, what does it take to change something on a street? Harris is, for those who aren't familiar with Eureka, is a weird street. It's one way for half of it. It's two ways for half of it. As you indicated, part of it's in the city, part of it's in the county. Shared jurisdiction. We've got lights in some places. We don't have lights in a whole bunch of the others. Some areas are cross streets, some aren't. It's become a major thoroughfare where before it wasn't. What would it take to make it a one-way street?
All the way?
All the way, because you got that one little weird intersection. As soon as you guys were done paving, signs were up earlier this week.
Did you drive through
somebody
that?
Somebody forgot to turn and just plowed through it. And you know that if there's a guy on
really,
the other side.
They didn't really forget because I saw the marks leading up to it.
Well, okay, slow to recognize that something was about to happen. And you look at it and you go, okay, this is just weird. So do you make something permanent like they do on the highways with those cement things? And maybe, you know, or do you even do worse and put a roundabout in? Or is there something that you can do there? Because it just seems like that is always a place. There's always glass on the ground. There's always challenges there at that one spot. So what does it take to change a street?
You could run for city council.
Not quickly, I couldn't run.
Well, that would be the extreme way to get a street change.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the citizenry could petition the council. There could be a request of the council to do something like that. But really what we would end up doing is some kind of, here it comes, some kind of study, traffic study, to demonstrate what the effects would be if you were to do what you're proposing to do. And I'm sure there are a lot of impacts that would be created by doing that, but there probably would be some positives that would come out of it as well. I would presume that, you know, back in the 60s or 70s, whenever that got changed to be the way it is, there was a traffic study done and traffic counts, and we do keep track of, you know, how many vehicles use these various streets.
Well, and it may have been the hospital when it was a hospital too.
Sure.
Different changes.
Henderson's the same way. Henderson's a little bit easier to define because at I Street, Henderson really turns into a more of a residential neighborhood feel to it. I don't know what the traffic counts are, but, you know, a lot of Henderson going east.
The road gets skinnier.
The road going east from I Street feels more like a neighborhood street. Certainly the traffic counts feel more that way. Harris, on the other hand, it's pretty busy going both ways. But again, it could be things such as the width of the street. But I would bet the traffic counts and the traffic directions are why you see a lot of, you know, you see Harris in the configuration it is. But since the 1970s, we've also seen a lot more cut-through traffic, and we've seen cut and expand. F Street and E Street now have queuing lanes in them because we have so much traffic there. I know that's relative, but we have a lot of traffic at those intersections in the morning and in the evenings because of the people that are headed south of Eureka, whether they're going to Humboldt Hill or Fortuna or Ferndale, or just out into the other parts of Cutton, they're cutting through. So we've had to make some changes there at those intersections. So, you know, there may be some validity to look at, you know, the traffic counts on Harris.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to really think.
Well, I'll
that
run
was
out and do that tomorrow.
Thought. Yeah, but yeah, just.
But the idea of you running for council might be.
Oh yeah,
someday too.
Well, that'll probably ensure the fact that you won't go for a contract renewal.
That you could count on that.
Yeah. We've been Talking Shop with Dave Tyson. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.